Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network, and excited that you've joined us today for another live broadcast. On today's show, we're going to have Doug Matthews of Xavier University, and we'll get to him in just a little bit. I want to remind you that we have other shows on the UR Tennis Network. Tuesday is Parenting Aces with Lisa Goodman Stone out of Atlanta, Georgia. Then on Wednesday, before I come on the air, is American Tennis with Chuck Creasy, and Chuck broadcasts out of the Citadel. There's my show, and then there's also the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association perspective given by John Denise, and his show comes on Thursday afternoon at about 5:30. So we have a lot of tennis shows out there for you to listen to, and hope that you'll be sure to tell some of your friends about our network. I want to remind you that we don't do any advertising here on this show. This is just a group of volunteers that are passionate about tennis. So if you have a passion for tennis and think that you can talk tennis for an hour, you can always get in touch with me at jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com. Again, that's jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com. I'd love to visit with you and see if we can get maybe another show on the air, so feel free to contact me. Now, as far as Coach Matthews goes, he's got a dual match today, and we had to start just a little bit earlier. That's why I'm on the air at 12:30 instead of 1 o'clock. But we're going to make this thing work here today and hopefully get him a win out of his experience today. So let me see if he's there.
Hello?
Hi, Coach Matthews. You there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Doug.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I want to welcome you to today's broadcast and excited that you've gotten onto the network. But, Doug, there are going to be a lot of people that have no idea who you are, so could you give us a brief biographical information on how you ended up at Xavier?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, myself, and that is where Xavier University is located. And I just grew up playing tennis and went through the recruiting process just like everybody else, and eventually went to Xavier University about 20 minutes away from where I grew up. And I graduated in 2009, and then I was the volunteer assistant on the men's side for 1 year. And then the last 5 years, I was the assistant coach. And then in November, Eric Toth, who was the head coach for 12 years before that, left to go coach at the University of Cincinnati. So this is my first year. I'm the interim head coach right now and just running the program.
Wow, interim head coach first year. Doug, that's got to have a lot of learning curve in your experience, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You know, especially with the different administrative, you know, tasks that are done, that's where most of the learning curve was taking place, because with our program, we have the same head coach for both teams. So there were trips the first 5 years where I would be with one team and our head coach would be with the other team. So in terms of being a head coach on court, it wasn't too big of a change for me.
Right. Now, Let's talk Xavier University just for a second here, Doug. How big is your school?
We have 4,500 undergrads and about 7,000 with graduate students.
Wow, that's a pretty big school. Now, what programs, as far as tennis players go, do you try to attract your kids to Xavier University for?
We have a really strong business school. And then we're also strong in science and math. We're a liberal arts Catholic university.
And how long has Xavier been around?
I believe 1831.
So it's a very old school. And
yeah.
I mean that in cheek. Let's talk a little bit about your facilities. How many courts do you have?
We have six on-campus outdoor. You know, it's funny. Today is actually our dedication for our new tennis center. It's called the Jim and Mary Brockoff Tennis Facility. And Jim Brockoff was the coach at Xavier before Eric Toth. He coached here for 45 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, yes. And he pretty much built the program, and he passed away last year. And our facility, our outdoor facility, was in shambles a few years ago. And we, you know, raised a substantial amount of money, and we opened a beautiful outdoor facility this year. And today we're dedicating it to Jim Brockoff and everything that he's done.
Well, that's quite an honor and unexpected to get that news here on the show, and glad that we've got it. So what sort of dedication, what sort of ceremony will you have?
Well, we're just inviting everyone that is close and associated with the program and Jim Brockoff and everyone that has, you know, been a part of helping us raise this money. And we're just going to talk about everything that Coach Brockoff did for this program. His family's going to be here to accept the courts, and hopefully after the ceremony our men can beat Northern Kentucky and get the first win under the new facility.
Hi, now Doug, you mentioned that and I got to get some clarification here. Do you coach the men and the women's team?
That is correct.
So you pull dual duty. That's not, we don't hear that much at the Division I level.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work, you know, and you can't get it done without a great assistant coach. So I got to give a shout out to John Allaire, who is the assistant here at Xavier. He graduated from Michigan State in 2009, and he started up early January and has just done an outstanding job. And, you know, you're right, at a program like us with one coach doing both teams, you really do have two head coaches, even though,
yeah,
you know, someone's labeled as the assistant.
Sure, and I know that helps tremendously. A lot of small colleges have one coach for two teams, but it's not often that you hear the Division I level. Doug, can you tell everyone what conference Xavier participates in?
Yeah, we play in the Big East Conference.
And what schools are in the Big East?
This is our second year in the Big East. And there's 10 schools in the Big East. Some of the top schools are DePaul on the women. DePaul won the women's conference last year. We got runner-up last year on the women's side. And then Marquette, we beat Marquette in the semifinals. And then St. John's out of New York, they also reached the semifinals. And then you've got Georgetown, Villanova, Creighton, Butler, Providence, Seton Hall. I think I named just about all of them there. And then on the men's side, St. John's was the winner last year, and they beat DePaul in the finals, and we lost in the semifinals to St. John's.
I see. And as you look at the Big East, what teams are the toughest in the Big East? You mentioned St. John's on the men and DePaul on the women. Any others out there?
We like to think of ourselves as contenders again this year. The way that the season has shaken up so far, with we have 1 weekend left before we go to the conference tournament. So our women, we've put ourselves in really good position to hopefully get the number 2 seed. We are 15-4 on the season. We've won 9 matches in a row, and we beat Marquette and St. John's, who are also, you know, up in the conference, and our only loss is DePaul. So DePaul should be the one, and we play Butler and Creighton this weekend. And if things go well there, I think our women are in good shape to get the number 2 seed. And then for the men, St. John's is awfully tough again this year. DePaul's got a good team. They beat Purdue earlier in the season. And then we lost to DePaul, and we lost to Marquette. Marquette's got a strong team, and we play, again, our men also play Creighton and Butler this weekend. So if we can win those matches, we're hoping to be the number 4 seed on the men's side.
Hey, you're almost done with your season. As you mentioned, you've got one more strong weekend left, and then you move to the conference tournament. Have you guys decided where the conference tournament is this year?
Yes, our conference tournament is going to be in Indianapolis at North Central High School.
I see. And how many teams will participate in the Big East tournament? Is that everyone?
Yes. There's 8 of the 10 men's schools have programs, and all 10 women's schools have programs, and everybody makes the tournament. Yeah, and last year, every other year, our conference tournament's held out at the National Tennis Center in New York City. So that's where we played it last year, and, you know, that's where it should be next year as well. So we're kind of going through an east-west shift. So, you know, at the National Tennis Center last year was the east site, and then this is the west site, and it'll keep alternating.
I see. So, Doug, let's talk about that schedule. How have things gone for you this year? You played 3 tournaments in the fall. Did you get to see a lot of good things out of your kids in the fall?
Yeah, you know, really, our men and our women are very different conversations, because on the men's side, we lost 3 of our top 4 players. So, and we had 3 freshmen coming in that were a little unknown. So in the fall, we were really learning a lot about our team, our new players, trying to figure out who was going to emerge as a leader on and off the court, what doubles teams were going to emerge, and seeing if guys could step up into new roles. And on the women's side, we returned 5 out of 6 starters, and we had 2 freshmen come in that were just really impact players right from the start. So the women, we knew we were going to be good. The men, it was more we were developing into being good. And I think I'm just really, really proud of our guys, how much a lot of those guys have really stepped up into their new role. Because there were times in the fall as coaches where we were a little concerned on the men's side, but those guys have stepped up, and we've really had a solid season.
Well, it's going to be tough to lose that many people and then expect to turn around so quickly, right, Doug?
Yeah, I agree. You know, in college tennis, you don't hear too much about guys going from 8 in the lineup to 6 in the lineup to 4 in the lineup and then finishing at 2. You know, if for the most part, if you're a 4 player, you're probably going to be a 4 player your whole career, because you don't necessarily have the weapons to play higher. but our guys have, you know, really improved. We have a guy on our team who's just a sophomore now. In the fall last year, he came in, he was number 10 out of 10 on our team. And now this year in the spring, he's been playing number 2 singles, and he has an over 500 record. So he's really worked hard.
Kind of a diamond in the rough.
Diamond in the rough. I mean, he's the hardest worker we have on the team. And, you know, it certainly doesn't help to be 6'5 either. It doesn't hurt to be 6'5.
Yeah. Now, Doug, when we look at your roster, you have quite a mix of international and American kids. You tend to tilt a little bit heavier in the American side of tennis. Is that by your design?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been involved in the recruiting. That's just kind of how our team has always been. And the men, we have 2 Brazilians on our team right now that are both freshmen. And then we have a Trent Smith who's coming in from New Zealand next year. So we'll have one more international student. And then on the women's side, every player on our team right now is from the Midwest. And we had a girl from Israel come in, and she graduated a couple of years ago. So, you know, we like to have a balance. And, you know, the main thing is if we feel like you're a good fit academically and athletically and you get along well with our kids, yeah, we want you to be a part of our team. We don't care where you're from.
Right. Right. Now, the Midwest has supplied you with a lot of good players, but you've got a Texas kid on your men's team.
We do. Yeah,
well,
Tommy LeFevre.
You go ahead, sorry?
Yeah, from Dallas. He's from Dallas. He's a freshman from Dallas.
Well, since that's where I'm located, I always like to hear about those Texas players getting out of the state, Doug. They seem to be a little valuable, more valuable to the teams in the north and northwest, northeast, just because they get to play longer in the day. Did you find that to be the case with your freshman?
Yeah, Connor has really been great. He was kind of another under-the-radar kind of guy. His ranking wasn't, you know, necessarily such where a bunch of teams were knocking the door down for him. But he's really got a lot of ability. And we had a girl on our team from Texas a couple years ago who graduated, Callie Alkier. And, you know, what I've noticed from most Texas kids is they hit the ball and they know how to play doubles. And, you know, those are 2 things that I'm really interested in. I like aggressive play. And, you know, I want kids that are able to play singles and doubles. And, you know, all Texas kids that I've seen really understand how to poach and be aggressive. And his doubles has been really good this year.
So what is your recruiting philosophy there, Doug, on these internationals? Are you out to get the best player? Is there another reason that you supply your team with international?
Well, you know, we've had these 2 Brazilians are in the next year with New Zealand, and we had one kid from Canada that graduated a couple years ago, Brandon McDonald. But besides that, and the one Israeli girl, besides that, we've been All-American for the last, you know, several years. So we start our recruiting local. You know, when I was on the team in 2009, our lineup was Cincinnati. You know, we had about 6 Cincinnati guys on the team, and then we had a Northern Kentucky guy and a guy from Louisville. So, but Cincinnati then had a lot of talent, and we were able to get a ton of kids from Cincinnati. And now there's not quite as much talent in Cincinnati, and the kids that are strong in Cincinnati are really, really strong, and they're going to Illinois and Ohio State. So we kind of need that local guy that is good, but not top 10 in the country good.
Well, it's got to be nice not to have to go very far to recruit, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we start here in Cincinnati, and we pretty much work our way out from there. And you can see on the women's side especially, we haven't had to venture too far the last few years with everyone being from the Midwest.
Yeah, so how many kids do you have to replace this year, Doug?
We have two on each team.
And have you replaced them?
Yes. We have two girls coming in next year and three guys. So
okay.
One girl is from Michigan. The other girl is from just out of Chicago, Illinois. And then our guys, one is from Green Bay, Wisconsin. One's from Indianapolis, Indiana, and then New Zealand.
Yeah. So, Doug, do you work out individually with your players, you and your assistant coach?
We do, yeah. We have a requirement of, you know, at least a two-hour practice a day. We usually go 2 hours. We might go a little bit longer depending on how many matches we're playing, what part of the season we're in. And then we lift twice a week, depending on how many matches. You know, if we're playing a lot, we might only lift once. But we always have opportunities for kids that want more. You know, one thing that we really push in the recruiting process is the fact that Xavier we have a really strong balance between athletics and academics. You know, you can just hearing our schedule, you know, you can see that, yeah, we play and we train hard, but you have time to excel in the classroom and, you know, have a tough major. A lot of our kids have minors, and, you know, we want you to excel on the court and in the classroom. Our women's team GPA last year was a 3.6, and our men's team GPA was about a 3.4. So we're doing well in both categories.
So, Doug, you mentioned that you practice about 2 to 2.5 hours a day. Is there a lot of match play? Are there fun times? How do you describe yourself as a coach on the practice court?
Yeah, I like a balance. You know, drilling is important, especially at the beginning of the year. You know, Coach Allaire and I, we've got a philosophy on how we think tennis should be played. And, you know, we want the kids to understand that. We're very cooperative coaches. You know, we want to, you know, tell you what we think and how it should be done, but we want our kids to really understand what we're teaching them as well. So I think through drilling we accomplish that and try to get everybody to buy into what we're telling them, you know, and sometimes with some kids it takes a little longer than others. And then after that we play a lot of sets. You know, not necessarily a ton of challenge matches, but mostly go and play a set and then drill or whatever after that.
Your kids every week with those individuals? Do you get the chance to be with them each week?
I wouldn't say that, you know, with 18 kids, not every player is hitting outside of practice every week. You know, we kind of go by, you know, what kids need. We have our number one girl on the team. She plays 2 hours a day, and she's great. You know, she doesn't need any more. I mean, she could probably hit an hour. You know, she's just naturally gifted, and she's 15-2 on the season. And if she played more and did extra work, it might work against her, you know. But we got some other kids that, if they're not playing 3 hours a day, then they feel like they can't hit the ball. So, you know, there's a mix, and whatever that person needs, we try to mold and be able to do what they need to do to play their best tennis. Because, you know, whether you're playing 2 hours or 4 hours a day, we want you to play the best tennis you can. If you can do it in two, then that's great. If it takes four, then that's great too. We'll make it happen.
And Doug, you mentioned that you have 18 players. Do your men and your women practice together?
Yeah, we have 9 women and 9 men. And we only practice together on rare occasions. We try to have one team go in the morning and then one team go in the afternoon every day, so we can split up the teams and make sure that people get 2 coaches for every practice.
Well, that's got to help to have those set of eyes on all those players, Doug. You mentioned that you do condition a couple of days out of the week with the weights. Is there anything else that you do that's medicine ball work, yoga, anything a little bit different for your kids?
No, you know, some of the conditioning will do some on-court conditioning. You know, just doing some sprints on the court. Try to work on first step some, where we have our lifting coach really does a good job. She'll run them through drills, a lot of like first step cutting stuff. You know, we try to keep the distances shorter and more explosive rather than running distance. I mean, we hardly ever run as a team for distance. It's almost always sprints.
Doug, let me remind our listeners, if you're interested in talking to Doug Matthews today, you can call in at 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. Well, Doug, let's talk about that spring season. Have you been pleased with the way things have gone so far?
Yes. Yes, I have. Our men are 10-8, and our women are 15-4. Our women have won 9 in a row, and our men are on a bit of a skid right now. We've lost 4 out of 5, but, you know, we haven't lost any poor teams. We played Kentucky twice, so that, you know, that's always tough. But, you know, with our goal with our schedule is to make it so we're playing our best tennis when the Big East tournament comes around. And, you know, we'll see how we do today for the men and, you know, this weekend for the men and the women. But as of right now, I can say that we're headed towards that goal.
Well, you get to play quite a few teams, and you get to travel a little bit too. Is that by design, to where I noticed that you did come to Texas for a spring break trip? Do you take a spring break trip every year?
Yeah, so, you know, one strength with our conference, we feel, is that, you know, every other year we're going to go to Chicago and play DePaul. Every other year we're going to go to New York City and play in the Big East tournament or play against St. John. So that could be 2 New York trips right there. And then every other year we're probably going to go out and play Georgetown in Washington, D.C. So, you know, those are great experiences for our kids. And, you know, we also take a spring break trip, like you mentioned. This year it was to Dallas. Unfortunately, you guys didn't bless us with very good weather this year. We were there March like the first week of March, and it snowed one night, so we didn't really get to play much outside. But that's beyond your control. I can't blame you there. We're also in Dallas 4 years ago, and it was beautiful. It was about 63 degrees every day. But
yeah.
You know, it's all about giving these kids a good experience. And we went to a Dallas Mavericks game as a team, and we toured the Cowboys Stadium. So we had a good time.
Did you happen to change any people's views, or did they become Cowboy fans, or are they Bengals fans?
Well, our Connor, kid from Dallas, he's a big Cowboys fan. He was repping a Cowboys sweatshirt when we were traveling every day when it was cold around here. So we're trying to convert him into a Bengals fan. We haven't succeeded yet, but we're still trying. Hope if the Bengals can win the playoff game, maybe we can convert him.
If he converts, you can keep him up there.
Yeah, you don't want him back, huh?
No, not at all.
I understand.
Well, this is your last weekend to play, right, Doug?
This is our last weekend of regular season play, and then we've got the Big East tournament, and then hopefully if things go well, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, does the Big East get an automatic bid into the tournament?
Yes.
Well, that's got to be nice to be included in that group of 64. Has Xavier, have you guys played in the Big Dance under your watch?
We played in it on the men's side. We played in it 3 years in a row, 2008, 2009, and 2010. So 2008 and 2009, that was my junior and senior year in college. And then 2010, I was the volunteer assistant coach. So we've had some success in our conference and played in the NCAA tournament three times. And, you know, that's our goal every year. And it's nice to be in a conference where, yeah, St. John's is a very strong team. DePaul's strong. Marquette's strong. But, you know, we're in a conference where we have a chance to win it. You know, and that's big for our guys, you know, trying to get better all year for that goal of playing in the Big East tournament. You know, it's just tough for some schools that have teams in there that are top 20 in the country, because realistically for us, you know, it's going to be really, really difficult to beat a top 20 in the country team. But St. John's is ranked usually in the 60s. And, you know, if we have a good day, we can beat a team in the 60s.
Yeah. So, Doug, you're kind of a hometown boy that's been able to return back to his alma mater. Were you received with open arms?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's easy when, after I graduated, we had an assistant coach who was getting his MBA, and then, you know, when he left, Eric Toth, who was the former coach here, he obviously knew me very well from coaching me for 4 years. I was still in Cincinnati. I was the volunteer coach, so it was a pretty smooth transition at that time.
Well, Doug, there's been quite a few in the NCAA Division I. You had to deal with the scoring changes this year. Did you and your team participate in those scoring changes?
I feel like we're participating in it every match we play. You know, that's non-conference. There's always some sort of debate on which rules we're actually going to play for our matches. So, yeah, we've played the shortened format several matches, actually at the beginning of the year, and now we're mostly playing the longer format, but we're still playing some short format as well.
All right, Doug, what did you think of that shortened format?
You know, when it was first talked about and that's what we were going to do, I did not like it, and I thought it was going to be too short, especially with with no ad, you know, I felt like some line calls could really be suspect, especially you with our level. We usually have three officials at our matches. So for the singles, you don't have an official on every single court where you would in the Big Ten or the SEC. So that can be a little more under control. But once we started playing it, I really didn't mind it. You know, I feel like with the no ad, whether you play ad or no ad, the better player is probably going to win the big points a majority of the time anyways.
Right.
So, you know, it puts more pressure points. But I do feel like, especially on the men's side, the doubles is very short with the six games no ad. I would, if we were going to go with no ad, I would prefer to play to eight. But
yeah, now that seems to be a big sticking point. You know, the doubles was really shortened. I can't imagine that playing those two extra games really added length to the match. How do you feel about that, Doug?
Yeah, it's hard to say because whenever we play to six, we play with no ad, and whenever we play to eight, we play with ads. So we haven't played to six and eight with the same scoring. So it's kind of hard to see, you know, what the exact length difference is. But I do know that, you know, when you don't play the third doubles out and you play no ad to six, we've had a couple doubles points that have lasted 20 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and when you play to eight with ads, a really short doubles point is probably 35, 40 minutes. And we've had some doubles points last an hour with that eight game length. And we've also had some 16 no ads go 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah. Doug, which format do you like the most as a college tennis coach? Do you like the eight game with no ad, or do you like the six game with ad?
Oh, if I had to pick between those two?
Yeah.
That's a tough call. I would say eight game with no ad.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a big I'm not big on the changes that they've made to college tennis. I just don't think that there are enough TV matches, and in my research here on this show, that seems to be the reason that it's drifted that way. You had the Power Five super conferences that thought that they needed to get some tennis on TV, push this legislation through, and now you guys have to deal with it, even though you probably will never see a tennis match on TV. Am I right about that?
I do agree with you there. You know, it seems like, you know, I think we're all workable, and we'll play with any format. Our guys and girls, we just want to play. You know, no ad. It really doesn't matter. We just like to play and compete. But, yeah, if we're going to be messing around with the format, you know, it'd be nice to see college tennis benefit as a whole from it, you know, not just changing it to change it.
Doug, it seems that the changes were made for the fans, not necessarily the players. Do you think that the new format takes away from player experience?
You know, I think the only player experience that is really affected would be someone that only plays doubles. You know, they would then they just would feel like their role is a little more limited than it would be for a longer doubles point. You know, you can play for 20, 30 minutes and your day is finished. I would say that would be the only real change from that experience.
Well, Division I tennis seems to be the only sport that really stops a match in the middle of a match, which is kind of weird. I mean, you guys, and I'm not saying in particular Xavier, but when you reach that number four, it seems like everybody's just done, whereas at the small college level, we would rather play those matches out no matter how long it took. Is that the case with you guys there? Do you stop at four?
We play it out every match, unless there's some extenuating circumstance where we need to stop. Our women have only stopped one match at four this season. That was against Ball State. Both of us, our match started a bit late, and both of us had pretty early mornings the next day to play another match, so we stopped at four that match. But that's the only match on either side that we've stopped all year.
Oh. Doug, now we're going to change gears here just a little bit and look at American tennis. When you look at American tennis from a personal standpoint, I don't think that we're doing a great job out there of using the collegiate system to promote some of the best players in the United States, some of the juniors. Some people would disagree with me and say that it's a great training ground. When you look at things and as you travel across the U.S., are we doing the right things in getting the pro players out to the tour, Doug?
You know, that's a little out of my scope of knowledge. I mean, yeah, I have opinions on it, but, you
sure.
know, I think obviously people, I hope, in the USTA are doing what they feel is right for all these kids that have that kind of talent. And, you know, I agree that it's a tough call, you know, because those young kids that are that talented, they want to try to play against the best competition that they can. And a lot of times they feel that means playing on the pro tour. And then the counter side is, you know, get some more experience winning in college and then pros after that. So that's really tough. But I can certainly agree that, you know, I want to see more professional Americans playing in Grand Slams and winning Grand Slams, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had some success. You know, Stevie Johnson's moved up in the ranks. John Isner is there. They're both collegiate-level players. We don't see hardly any women come out of the collegiate events. Some of the girls at Stanford and Florida, they participate in professional tournaments. But it's really very rare. And as a college coach, I oftentimes think you're just, you know, and just forgive me for this, you're just one tier away from being a professional tennis coach. You know, your kids decide to play for money. That makes you more of a professional tennis coach than a collegiate tennis coach. As you, and I'm looking for opinions. I'm not looking for you to change anything. But what do you think that we should do a little bit more of on the professional level?
You know, it's tough. I just think if you're playing professionally, it's just a lot of kids feel you don't have to go to class. You don't have that 3-4 hours out of your day. You can train all day. You can travel and you can play a lot more matches. You know, the college calendar, you're limited in terms of how many dates you're allowed to use. So, I mean, I certainly understand why kids and coaches, professional coaches, want their kids to not play college tennis. And, you know, I think the top college tennis coaches, you know, need to come together and figure out how we can make it worthwhile for these great kids to come and play college tennis.
Do some of your kids, Doug, do they still have aspirations to be professional tennis players? I'm not saying that they're going to do it, but do they still come out to practice and play and carry themselves in a manner which they think might lead to the professional tour?
I would say that generally speaking, our kids are, you know, not looking to play professional tennis when they come to Xavier. They're looking more for a balance between athletics and academics. And some of our kids do play future tournaments over the summer and, you know, see how they can do. But, you know, we have not had a player, you know, really try to make it from Xavier before.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's tough. There's no doubt about it. When you're dealing with the top 0.00001% of the world, you know, playing professional tennis, it's tough to do. The collegiate system does a good job of weeding out some of those players that are kind of on the, you know, in the middle. But I'm just really disappointed that we don't see more professional tennis players come from the college ranks. Back in the 80s, early 90s, the American tennis system, you know, we had tons of players, whether they be collegiate or just turning professional, playing professional tennis. It was good to see. And nowadays, you know, we're lucky we've got, I think, five in the top 100. But mm-hmm. I was used to having, you know, two or three in the top 10 when I grew up. How about yourself?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm 27, you know, that time a little bit. I think it kind of comes down to, you know, just the way training for sports has changed over time. You know, it seems like kids, whether they're playing tennis or any other sport, they're just specializing so much earlier. People were playing three sports all the way through high school, and then, you know, and then they would play a sport in college.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a are we just losing the athletes to other sports? Is that what you see, Doug? I mean, are you getting good athletes, or are they kind of in between athletes, or how does it work for you?
And real quick, a couple more questions, and then I got to get our guys going for our match here.
no problem, Doug.
You know, we have good athletes. I mean, you know, we are very good athletes, but professional tennis players, they're great athletes as well. And, you know, they practice more, and they practice more ever since they were a kid, most likely. So, you know, we're definitely fighting an uphill battle from that perspective.
Yeah. So, Doug, you mentioned you got to get out of here, and I knew that was going to be the case. What do you do for match day? What are some of your preparations to get your team ready?
Well, we hit a little bit this morning. We usually hit for about 30 minutes, about, you know, 3-4 hours before our match, and then we'll go eat a meal together, rest a little bit, and then come out and do a warm-up 45 minutes before the match, and then get going.
It sounds like that you're really interested in your team doing well, Doug. And, you know, some people have individuals on their team that they're looking to do well, but you seem to really take care of your kids in a team aspect.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. If you have one or two guys that can win, it doesn't help you unless you can get those 4 points.
Right. Do you and your team have any pre-match rituals, you know, rub the head of a bronze statue or anything like that that goes through up there at Xavier before you get on court?
No, we don't have any of that. We just, you know, do our team X tier and then just compete.
Yeah. So you do you have a men's match today, a women's match today, Doug? What's going on?
Yeah, we have a men's match against Northern Kentucky University.
And what time does that get started?
Starts at 3:30 Eastern.
Oh, so we got to get you out of here, Doug. Listen, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and telling us a little bit about Xavier University tennis. I want to wish you the best of luck with your match today.
All right, Jay. Hey, thanks a lot for having me, and good luck. Good luck to your show in the future. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Doug. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
Yep. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Doug Matthews. Doug is the coach of both the men and the women there at Xavier University in Ohio, and he's one of those young coaches that's out there that has just gotten started in his experience, and want to wish him the best of luck. And we do look forward to keeping up with Xavier and seeing how they do in the course of their season, and hopefully they'll have a chance to make it to the big dance at the end of the year. So I want to thank you for listening in today. As always, we'll be back next week and bring you another college coach. So if you get a chance today, go out there and hit some tennis balls. And if you don't get a chance to hit tennis balls today, then please just think about hitting some tennis balls. But thanks for listening in, and keep us going here at the UR Tennis Network. Thanks. Bye-bye.